This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Coach Jen, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network on Cyber Monday. That's December 2nd, so episode 799. This episode is brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine and Good Morning Horse World.
Yep, it's Monday.
All right, let's take it from the top again.
Well, good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining us here on Horses in the Morning. We hope you had a terrific holiday weekend. For those of you that didn't have to work on Friday, maybe you went out and did a little shopping at the tack shop. I know that we actually did go out a little bit on Black Friday, and we went to a tack shop. We did go to a tack shop on Black Friday, along with a couple other places. So we ventured out.
It was about 500 of our friends.
Yes.
It was the busiest tack shop I've ever been in.
I know. You normally don't see that many people at a tack shop. But it was actually a lovely weekend here in Florida over the weekend. I know we had a lot better weather than the rest of the country did in a lot of places, and we hope you enjoyed your holiday as well. Jamie is out sick today. She apparently got sick on her vacation, and she wrote to me yesterday and said that she's on antibiotics and coughing and hacking, and she said she could barely talk. She had lost her voice. I guess that it was probably better she wasn't here today, because all we would have heard is some squeaking from Arizona. So
Lucas would have been doing all the talking.
Yes.
Every time Jamie gets on an airplane, she becomes deathly ill. She just needs to avoid flying.
I know, and we didn't
take the Greyhound bus.
And because of that, we didn't get up to see her last week. So she was here in Florida. She did make the trip, and apparently, from the time she wasn't sick, she had a good time. Well, we'll learn more about it. Hopefully, she'll be back here on Wednesday and be able to speak and in good form. I actually got a little bit of a cold last week too, so I'm hoping that I can hit the cough button before I go into a coughing attack here this morning. I was the least sick, so I had to show up for work. Is the way it worked, because Jennifer refused to do the show all by herself. She said that wasn't happening.
I wouldn't do that to the audience. It would not be fair.
We do have some things planned for today, but before we talk about anything else, and we could talk about this because Jamie's not here to go into one of her ranting fits about it. It is hunting day, especially in Pennsylvania and several other states. It's the first day of deer hunting, always the Monday after Thanksgiving. And we used to live in Pennsylvania. We had our big farm there, and we really had to protect our horses because we were surrounded. That farm was about 100 acres. It was surrounded by hunters, I mean, on all sides. And it sounded like there was a little mountain that was right above where our farm was. And about, 6:30 in the morning when it just started getting light out, it sounded like World War III. There were just gunshots everywhere. There are 950,000 licensed hunters in Pennsylvania alone today. They expect that's the number of people who have gotten licenses for deer. They expect 750,000 to be out in the woods today. So that's 750,000 hunters in the woods of Pennsylvania with guns. So keep that in mind. We used to hunt too, although Jennifer and I did it on our own property, and we didn't do it very enthusiastically. It was mostly so we could commune with nature and freeze our asses off. That was the two things that we pretty much got out of hunting. I actually had a deer. I was sitting along along the edge of the woods, and I was sitting there. It was cold that morning too. And it was like one of the Mondays after after Thanksgiving, one of the many times we went hunting, for me, very unsuccessfully. And I was sitting there, and I just had my gun propped up. And all of a sudden, I heard this loud noise and felt this this something on my neck. And I turned around, and there was a buck about 3 feet behind me. He had come up behind me, had seen me, stopped and snorted like deer do. Scared the crap out of me. I think I almost shot myself. And by the time I was able to actually get the gun into some semblance of a place where I could turn around and shoot, he was long gone. But he managed to scare the crap out of me. So that was the closest experience I ever had to a deer. I think he was just making fun of me, to be honest.
Oh, yes. He ran back to his little friends, and they laughed all afternoon over that one.
Yeah, I bet. I bet he did, too. But, you know, we did hunt for a little while. Jennifer's family comes from a long line of hunters, something we don't usually talk about when Jamie's on the phone because it just is not worth the effort. But we wish everybody safe out there. Please be safe and also keep your horses safe, obviously. One of our sponsors today can help you do that. We'll talk about that a little bit later. High Visibility North America is out there to help keep you and your horses safe this holiday season. Now, you looked it up, and well, one of the things I wanted to say about hunting is actually on the decline from what I read this morning around the country. In Pennsylvania, there were 1.3 million hunters licensed in 1982, and now it's down to 950,000. So they've lost almost 28% of the number of hunters over that period of time. And what they attribute that to, part of it is that youngsters aren't going out hunting anymore. They're saying partly because it requires them to get outside. They're so addicted to video games and shooting things online that they're not interested in going out and shooting things for real. So they said that's part of it, is that youngsters just aren't out doing it anymore. They're not coming out in the droves that teenagers used to go hunting.
Nope.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the deer and the elk are pleased about this.
Yes, I'm sure. Now tell me too, you had some statistics here of every state, like Pennsylvania has a requirement of the number of square inches of orange that you have to wear as a hunter so that you don't get yourself shot. And you found some other states had some varying degrees, and then some were like ridiculously nothing.
Well, I found that very interesting coming from Pennsylvania, where white-tailed deer season is a rite of passage. I thought, well, I'll just look it up because I figured each state would be a little bit different. Alabama was the one I found that had the smallest actual requirement listed in square inches, 144 square inches. That's a 1 foot square. Now, personally, coming from a place where deer hunting is big, I would never go out into the woods anywhere near big game season in 1 square foot of blaze orange. That's nuts.
Yeah, me too.
Alabama just have really sharp eyesight. I don't know.
Remember, right beside our farm was a hunting club. I mean, our lane, we shared a mile-long lane with the hunting club. So we had about 100 acres. They probably had a little more than 100 acres. And, of course, a bunch of them used to come out and hunt. Now, they all came out in complete suits that were orange, head to toe. So there was no mistake in them for a deer.
We could literally see them a half a mile away.
We could. They were the safest hunting club I've ever seen. But Oregon only requires people to wear orange if they're under 17.
So apparently, if you're a legal adult, it doesn't matter if you get shot. Only if you're a kid. There you go.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
A very common scenario, which I found in probably the majority of states, Colorado is one of them, 500 square inches, which is about how many square inches you get if you wear a jacket.
Yeah, which I think is what, isn't that what Pennsylvania is? Pennsylvania requires you to wear quite a bit, too.
I think it's 400 in Pennsylvania. What I thought was interesting, too, is many, many states, for at least large game or for fowl, for quail season and the like, blaze orange camo was not allowed, which I thought was interesting because you see the orange camo everywhere in the sporting goods stores. But apparently a lot of states, that does not fit the requirement for blaze orange wear during large game season, which I thought was very interesting. As also meshes, the mesh vests and stuff, they're not allowed to be used. states like Idaho and New Hampshire and a few others, they don't require anything at all.
And you're just crazy if you go out there without something orange on. You're just nuts.
Yeah.
I would never do it.
Indiana, I thought was very clever. You have to wear a cap.
Yeah.
So as long as you keep your head up, you're safe.
You can be naked otherwise, but you have to wear the cap.
You have to wear the cap.
Well, today we have Dr. Chang from Omega Alpha Equine joining us. He's coming on to talk about digestion and mobility. So he's always a fun guest.
Senior horses specifically.
Oh, for senior horses. Okay, good. And yes. Then we have later on in the show, we have The Wacky World of Horses by Horse Nation. Leslie will be here with some fun topics that we're going to talk about. One of them is one that Jennifer and I was very familiar with for a long time. And that's the 10 common sense barn rules that boarders tend to forget or ignore. So we're going to talk a little bit about being a boarder today and some of the barn rules that revolve around that. Plus, we have a bunch for the first half hour here. We have a bunch of news stories that we need to get caught up on from over the holiday week. So let's get started with our daily whinnies. I actually have two of them, Jennifer. My daily whinny, first one, is a sad daily whinny, actually. It goes out to all the performers over at Arabian Nights Dinner.
You don't have a sneeze button, do you?
Yes, I do. I didn't get to it in time. At the Arabian Nights Dinner attraction down in Orlando, we had broadcast from there for a couple of times. And it was announced on Friday that they are going out of business as of January 1st. They're ceasing all operations.
Well, they're closing
and shutting
down. I don't know if going out of business is quite the right term, but they're closing up. They're closing up the doors. Yeah.
Yeah. So going out of business, shutting the doors, same thing. They're not going to be doing shows anymore. So they have, over the years, they've been around for 25 years, and they've done 10,000 performances for more than 10 million guests over that period of time.
Oh, and Florida residents get a half-price ticket during December if they want to see the Christmas show.
Yes. Huh. So if you want to go now from December 1st through December 31st, Florida residents will get a little bit off, but December 31st will be the last day of operations. Now, interesting, our friend Robert Grantham from Arizona wrote that you got to remember that Arabian Nights is owned by a gentleman who raises Arabians, breeds Arabians, and he had a farm in Arizona. Well, according to Robert, I don't know, you know, again, this is third hand here, but he says the owner lost his mom within the last year, and I know the ranch they ran here in Arizona was closing down as well. So,
well, maybe he's retiring and moving to Boca Raton.
You know? Yeah, who knows? He might be getting out of the Arabian business as well. As we learn more about this story, we'll let you know. I know we got a lot of comments on our Facebook page when I posted this over the weekend. A lot of horse people have been to see it. And then, you know, those that haven't, it's been on the bucket list of things to do. We've recorded a couple shows there. They were always very generous to us and very nice to us. And we appreciate all the generosity that they've had with the Horse Radio Network over the years. I think we recorded one 4 or 5 years ago. It was a long time ago. Remember, we went down.
I'm very curious to see what happens to that piece of real estate. That's right on the main drag in Orlando.
You know,
it's not another hotel.
It's right off of I-4. I mean, right off of I-4. And it's in a kind of an industrial park area with a lot of businesses. So I think that you're right. Jennifer's speculation was that he got a huge offer for this piece of property. And the piece of property is worth millions. Now, the building itself, they'll probably, you know, for whatever, whoever is buying it, would tear that building down. That building itself was getting kind of run down. But the...
been there for 25 years.
Yeah, but the property was...
It had been used hard.
Yeah, we got to see the backstage. So, but the property was valuable. And it had a huge parking lot. So it was several acres of property right off of I-4 in the heart of Orlando. So I think that this is going to be...
Wouldn't it be cool if somebody else put a different horsey dinner theater in there?
Some reason I have a doubts that that's what's going to happen with this.
Well, they just replaced all the footing.
I know. And that is true. Within the last year, they had completely gutted the arena and put in brand new footing, and they were very proud of that, repainted and They did a lot of work to it. Mm-hmm. They had just changed the show, if you remember, right, over the summer for the first time in 20-some years.
So, well, maybe we need to track down the owner and get him on the show.
I know. We need to figure out what is going on over at Arabian Nights. So that's kind of sad. It was one of our favorite shows to go and see while bringing horse people. Every horse person that came to visit us while we were in Orlando, we brought them to see Arabian Nights. So we're going to miss it.
We even took the non-horse people.
Yes, that's true. We even forced them to go. All right, here's the my second Daily Whinny. I just wanted to remind everybody in my second Daily Whinny about the Georgia Horse Racing Coalition, which is trying to get horse racing in the state of Georgia, has a calendar that they're selling, and they are running a Mucho Macho Man Cyber Monday. So it's called the Fast and the Brave calendar. It's just $9.95 today if you use MACHO2014 as a coupon code, and I have all of that on our Facebook page as well with the link. So you can click on the link there on the Facebook page, and you can go and order calendars for, and of course it does have Mucho Macho Man in it, but you can order calendars for your friends or, you know, as stocking stuffers. $9.95 right now to support the Georgia Horse Racing Coalition. They're good friends of ours, and we really appreciate them being available whenever we've needed them. So I wanted to give them a little support and give them one of my daily whinnies today. Okay, your turn.
Well, Glenn, you know how we love comments from our listeners, and we love getting a little bit of emails and comments on our Facebook page from our listeners since we can't hear our audience directly through these headphones. We got a comment on the Facebook page or was it in an email? I forget which.
It was an email,
From Lindsay Lewis, a relatively new listener, so she doesn't know how obnoxious we really are. She says, "Hey, just found you guys. Thanks so much for a great show. Really loved the interview with Anne Firestone learning about the long ears." Now, if I remember right, Anne Firestone was Save Your Ass Rescue?
That's right. Yeah, remember all the joking we did about that? Yes.
Awesome fun. How many times can you use ass in the same show? I think we set a record. She was such a good speaker and does such great work. Love to see and hear about her getting publicity. Lots of hokey rescues out there, so we love to see the good ones getting kudos and the support they deserve. Thanks again for everything that you do. And you are very welcome, Lindsay. We enjoy doing it.
Yeah, it was Save Your Ass Long Ear Rescue, and we had her on November the 11th, if you want to go back. If you missed that episode, it was November 11th. You can go back and take a listen to that. It was a lot of fun. She was a good sport, too.
Great.
Yeah, she put up with us. She was a good sport. Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the things going on in the world of horses and the news. Jock Padgett, who we've talked about, who won the Burley event over in England, and then his horse tested positive for I can't even say the name of the drug. It tests positive for a sedative, a banned sedative. And then they said they were going to have to they take the B sample. They always do two samples, and they tested the A sample and it came out positive. So then they turn around and test the B sample. And the B sample last Tuesday came out positive as well for the same drug. Now, what that means is unless he can appeal successfully, he will lose his title. For Burley, he'll have to forfeit his title. He'll also forfeit the £60,000 that he won. And he will be banned for up to 2 years from Federation events. So, you know, this is a serious, serious violation and a serious, serious fine. Now, he has 21 days from the day the B sample result came out last Tuesday to provide a dossier of evidence to the FEI about how this could have happened without him officially drugging the horse. And he's had a team of lawyers and a team of scientists working on this for some time. And now there's talk and there's rumor in the eventing community that he has found what they're calling a trump card, that the scientists have come up with a persuasive case of how this might have happened. And so we're expected to hear more about that shortly. They haven't said exactly what the persuasive case is at this point. But that, you know, he is, that Jock is very excited that they have come up with a possible explanation.
Now, it says here, Paget has been suspended from any official ESNZ, which is the official eventing rulemaker for New Zealand, while the legal process continues. It's interesting because in the vast majority of disciplines, I know thoroughbred racing and I believe some other non-racing disciplines, if you are under investigation by your governing body, you still have the ability to compete in your chosen discipline during that process because you're innocent until proven guilty, as they say. But apparently, when it comes to the FEI and the New Zealand Eventing Association, it is the reverse. You are out on your butt until proven otherwise.
Yeah, and you know, in racing, they pretty much have to drag your butt out of the barns to get you to stop. So
well, you just go to the next state over and you're fine. Yeah,
yeah, but you know, so yeah, they definitely take a proactive stance with this. Now, the other thing that he's kind of now, they did say that this could take months, even after he, you know, hands in his evidence that he didn't do this intentionally. It could take months because the FEI can go back and forth, and you know, the FEI takes months to do anything. So he basically is going to lose the beginning of the European season coming up here, and he won't be able to compete with that. So he is, you know, he is losing out. The other thing that he's has a chance of losing out on if he loses his Burley title is competing for the $450,000 Grand Slam of eventing, which is winning badminton, Burley, and Kentucky here in the United States. So, you know, they that is something that that he will lose out on as well. So this is a serious thing that's going on over there right now, and you know, we'll see how it comes out. That's just
I think everybody's really raising their eyebrows and talking about it because it's so rare. You just don't see this kind of thing in the eventing business very often.
Well, while we're over in Europe, something going on in France right across the channel there is we talked about this last week, the week before, how the French horse community is really upset because they wanted to raise their tax on stables from 7% to 20% of income. So horse riders were very upset, and they've done protests already. Well, apparently there's another protest scheduled for today. They're expecting horse people from all over the country to show up, riding and driving and everything else, in Paris to denounce the plan. And in the meantime, lorry drivers, truck drivers from all around the country caused major disruptions across 40,000 of the roads around France. And they're planning more road blockades today in the north and the south. And they're trying to force the French government to delay road taxes that are going way up and tolls that are going way up. So apparently the government has already said that they will suspend the implementation until 2015, but they want these new taxes scrapped altogether, and they're going to continue blocking roads and things. There are 4,500 trucks that are expected to cause disruption today in France. Well, that's a lot of trucks. There are a lot of roads. You're not going to be wanting to drive around France today because you're not going to get anywhere.
No.
So farmers, yeah. Lorry drivers, entrepreneurs, shopkeepers, all are picketing.
Yeah. So I guess the original story we saw focused on a significant increase in the taxes on people who ran commercial equestrian operations, riding lessons, boarding stables, and that type of thing.
That's
but
right.
Apparently there are other taxes that are scheduled to go into effect that also affect people who transport horses and the things like that. Now, this is a little bit worrisome for me, Glenn, because I didn't pay much attention in my world history classes, but I do distinctly remember that when the French get truly pissed off, and it takes a lot to get them truly pissed off, folks in leadership roles, it doesn't look good for them.
Yeah, just make sure there's no guillotines around. No sharp objects. You really don't want any sharp.
Yeah, I would be a little uncomfortable right now because it looks like things are getting hot and heavy. Now, the World Equestrian Games starts in the fall in
September, 2014. Yeah, late September, October.
So they've got time to settle this down. and get things smoothed out before the World Equestrian Games starts, which would be appreciated, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure that that's one of the concerns. And, you know, having the entire country of horse people in France unhappy about the government is not really a good thing when you're coming into the World Equestrian Games soon.
Not putting on your best face there, no.
No.
But so, but on the other hand, the government, if they have these taxes in place, could be in for quite a windfall when everybody shows up for the games. And
well, on a more positive note, something that is happening over in Europe right now. We're not leaving Europe here. There's so many European stories. Remember we talked about the Kelpies, the world's largest pair of equine sculptures? So in Scotland, they had been completed and they were just finishing them up when we did the last report. Well, now they're done. And I know you've seen pictures of them on Facebook if you've been paying attention at all. There are a couple of stunning metal sculptures that rise 100 feet from the ground at Helix Parkland, which officially opens next year. They're modeled after Clydesdale's Duke and Baron, and they pay homage to the tradition of working horses in Scotland, which used to pull barges along Scotland's canals and work in the fields in the areas where the Kelpies are right now. Duke and Baron are 1/16th scale to their steel counterpart. So the actual horses are 1/16th of the scale of these huge ones. Now, some statistics we didn't have before that I thought I'd go over with you. There's more than 600 tons of steel was used in the construction process to make and more than 10,000 fittings were used to secure the skin of the two horse heads. One's looking up and one's looking down. And remember, they're 100 feet tall. So each Kelpie weighs 300 tons each, and contains 9,842 feet of steel tubing and 17,000 component parts.
Wow.
The steel was fabricated in Yorkshire and transported there, painstakingly pieced together in a sophisticated 3D modeling software. So they actually built it, because if you see the pictures of it, it's a bunch of little pieces put together. And that was done in a 3D modeling software, and then each piece was transported to the site, and it was built there. So, because I guess transporting it after it was built was
yet
happening.
Another reason to go visit Scotland, as if you needed another reason.
Well, they're expecting this Helix Park is expected to attract an additional 350,000 visitors a year and add $2 million in annual tourism to the area. So that one is up and ready to go. So that's kind of exciting.
Cool. Yeah. Hey, we have a story here that's near and dear to my heart, because you know how I get all hot under the collar and jump on my soapbox. The walking horse industry is making headlines again. And this time, finally, Congress has gotten around to having some hearings on the bill that would make illegal all types of gait-enhancing devices. Currently, soaring is illegal, and we wanted to get into that, the fact that, it's illegal, nobody ever gets prosecuted for doing it. But they're trying to get it to the point that all types of action-encouraging devices will be illegal, and they did some hearings. And apparently, as many of us suspected, it's getting a little dirty. This is the stuff that Saturday night movies are made of. I can just see it now. Apparently, several of the people who testified and provided evidence, whether it was evidence on their opinions or evidence that really all it did was highlight statistics, are already getting threatening emails, Facebook posts, etc., from folks who are on the other side of the aisle that don't want this bill to go through. So that was actually pretty well expected, but apparently the hearings went well. The owners are just waiting and watching. I thought this was interesting. One of the veterinarians who are a horse inspection expert from, I'm guessing, the USDA, mentioned some of the things that they've tested for and found. They're finding everything from antioxidants and dyes to cholesterol when they do the swabbing on the horse's ankles. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, well, the part of that is they're putting all these chemicals on the horse's ankles to basically numb their ankles so that they don't test. You know, that they right. that when they actually try and do these tests, that it shows up negative. And they said of the this Donna Benefield, a horse inspection expert and former Celebration consultant, okay, who testified in front of the committee, pointed out that the compliance figure, because what's happening now is the USDA said that and Celebration people are saying, the Tennessee Walker people are saying that they were 94% in compliance this year, that 94% of the horses there were in compliance, and that, you know,
that
did,
certainly sounds encouraging.
It does sound encouraging, yeah. Except that this Donna Benefield then came out and said that who actually testified in front of the committee pointed out that the compliance figure doesn't include horses that failed chemical swabs to test for foreign chemicals on their pasterns. Of 128 sampled at this year's Celebration, 86 came back positive. USDA figures don't take that into consideration. And you're right, they use caustic agents or numbing agents, so they weren't taking that into consideration. And they also apparently will inject the legs now with numbing agents. They use hair dyes and sprays, tattoo ink, and they also do all of that to make the ankles appear like they're in compliance, that there's nothing wrong. So
yeah, well, I get it now. So the things like hair dye and tattoo ink address the visual inspection, because
yes.
there's a visual inspection
for
compliance, whereas if certain specific types of scarring can be seen, the horse is not in compliance.
Correct. Which is, you know, so basically they have the makeup artist show up and hide it, is what it's coming down to. Yeah, so this lady was so disgusted that she actually left and then testified against them. And, of course, the Tennessee Walker people are saying that everybody that testified against them at the hearings is paid off by the Humane Society, and, you know, all shills for the Humane Society, and these people are saying that they haven't received any money from the Humane Society, and the fighting goes on. So now the one exciting thing about
this was interesting.
Go ahead. Yeah.
An interesting comment. Shelbyville's performance horse owners are waiting to see what happens but to the bill, and by extension, their investments, in other words, their horses. Corporate attorney Frank Eichler said it would be impossible to sell his 74 horses, no matter what, because his wife Debbie falls in love with him. So, in other words, we need to continue this practice because our horses will not be valuable anymore.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That's a crock,
really?
Too. That's a crock, too, because once the rules change and they're not allowed to do that stuff anymore, the rules change for everybody. And the criteria changes for everybody. So the judging changes for everybody. And your horses are still as valuable as they were before if they can meet the new criteria. If they can't, then there's a new group of horses that become that valuable. So it's that's a crock. I never bought that argument when it comes to anything like this, including horse racing, you know, when they make changes there. It just changes the dynamic, and yes, your 74 horses may not be as valuable, but somebody else's who are in compliance are going to be more valuable. So the economy
right.
still works.
Right. Well, and Stuart Pittman over at the Retired Racehorse Training Project has already, in the short 2 years that he has been working so hard on that, how that is not the case, because it used to be that you run the racehorse till he can't run anymore, and then he's worthless, and you dump him somewhere. They're already starting to see a change with the trainers, because the trainer knows that when he doesn't do that, the horse is more valuable, and he retains his value. So it's not a big jump to see that the same thing's going to happen to a walking horse. If the horse is no longer going to be a competitive performance horse, if he's been shown well, intelligently, and humanely, he is still valuable as a non-competitive show horse.
Well, very good. Well, why don't you get off your soapbox and get a hold of Dr. Chang here. We'll get Dr. Chang back on. Why don't we take a break right now for a song, and that'll give us a chance to get our guests lined up here. I have Santa Baby by Trish Lynn. This is a new one for us, actually. Trish just put this out this year. Of course, Trish is of the All-American Cowgirl Chicks. And she's going to be on the Stable Scoop radio show this week. So that they come on with us every year because we do a special Rose Parade episode every year. And this is the week of our special Rose Parade episode. We have several guests coming on to talk about the Rose Parade. And we have several participants in the Rose Parade, including the All-American Cowgirl Chicks. So she sent this song called Santa Baby. You know it very well, and this is her version of it. We'll be right back with Dr. Chang and talking about today we're talking about senior horses, digestion, and mobility.
A sable under the tree for me. I've been an awful good girl, Santa baby. Hurry down the chimney tonight, Santa baby. A 64 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Of all the fellas that I haven't kissed, next year I could be oh so good. If you check off my Christmas list, bye-bye-doo, Santa honey, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lie. I've been an angel all year, Santa baby, hurry down my chimney tonight. One thing I really do need, the deed to a platinum mine, Santa cutie, hurry down my chimney tonight. Santa baby, and fill my stockings with a duplex and check. Sign your ex on the line, Santa baby, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Trim my Christmas tree with some decorations bought at Tiffany. I really do believe in you. Let's see if you believe in me. Ba-do-ba-doo, Santa baby, forgot to mention one little thing. A ring, I don't mean a phone, Santa baby, hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry down the chimney tonight. What are you waiting on, cowboy?
Thanks for that from Trish Lynn from the All-American Cowgirl Chicks. This is Coach Jen. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Coach Jen is here because Jamie Jennings, our usual co-host, got on an airplane and therefore got sick. Those places are toxic, Glenn.
Yes, they are. That's why I try and avoid airplanes. But I got sick without being on an airplane. So she just happens to be more sick than me today. So that's why I'm here and she's not. We were comparing notes yesterday about who was sicker, and then was like, okay, you get to be off sick today. So she was worse than me. She actually was taking antibiotics. I was just coughing. So... So let's get Dr. Chang on. Dr. Chang from Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Dr. Chang.
Good morning, Glenn. Good morning, Jennifer. How are you?
Are you sick? Are you healthy? Are you doing better than the rest of us here?
I'm as healthy as a horse.
Oh, good.
You know, this is what this is.
Good.
But I was going to say, one of the things that you guys should be doing is taking some good immune boosters before you hop on that little plane, wherever you're going. At least give yourself a fighting chance. I can't promise you'll never get sick, but at least it boosts your immune system to the point where it gives you a good fighting chance against getting sick.
Well, you know, you are on a plane all the time. You must live on that stuff.
No. I have a good constitution. I've been known to have food in the fridge that's been sitting there for about 4 or 5 days. And then when I get around to eating it, no problems in the stomach. You see? Good constitution.
Yeah, you must. You must. So how are you, Dr. Chang?
Very good. You know, can't complain too much.
Well, Jennifer, what are we talking about today?
I believe we're talking about senior horses, issues with digestion and mobility.
Okay.
Hey, Glenn, you're a senior horse. You have.
I have all of these problems. I have digestion problems and mobility problems. So this really fits.
Listen carefully.
Well, we won't go there to about Glenn today, but we'll talk about the horses instead. How's that?
Okay, good. Well, we've had a few senior horses. You know, I had a pony that died in the mid-40s. So,
wow. You
know, yeah, so we've had several horses that have lived into the late 30s. So we've had our share of senior horses over the years.
One of the things I always say about the senior horse, it depends on what people call a senior horse, too. Like, I know there are people who call their horses when they hit about 20, senior horses. And then you have the real senior horses when they hit their 30s, right? And then you have the extra senior horses when they hit their 40s,
ancient,
right?
The ancient in the 40s, yeah.
The ancient horses. But again, you know, depending on their age group, you have different issues. Like, I know if you look at the horses in their 30s and in their 40s, you may have issues with dentition, meaning that the horses, their teeth are not that great, so they're not getting enough calories into them because they can't eat, right? And so I know what people do is usually feed them high-calorie type foods, prepared foods, etc. But one of the things that I notice a lot of people always mess with those is that the vitamin and mineral status of these horses, right?
Okay.
And the vitamin and mineral status is very important because the horses need all these vitamins and so on to keep them healthy, right, as they grow older. So, you know, no, but I very rarely hear anybody speaking about vitamin and mineral status. All they think about is calories, right? Also, in some of these horses, as they're older, one of the things that people have to realize is the probiotic mix in their gut. That's also important because without good bacteria in the cecum and in the intestinal tract, a lot of the foods that they eat, if they are like grass or hay or even pelleted hay, etc., or hay cubes, what happens is that they have a hard time breaking that down. So even though you think you're giving them all that food, they need bacteria to help break down a lot of that food so that they can absorb some of that nutrients. So, I mean, these are some of the issues that we have with senior horses.
Mm-hmm. With a senior horse who does not chew his food well, in other words, he's on one of those diets that he gets soaked hay cubes and he maybe gets a senior horse feed that's been soaked and turned into smush so he doesn't physically have to chew that food, and he doesn't graze on hay or grass. He gets meals 3, 4, or 5 times a day. Is that going to be harder for the horse's digestive system to keep those good bacteria working because he doesn't have the food going continuously like a horse that does have the ability to chew?
Well, not so much that it doesn't have the good bacteria. He will have, there's always bacteria in the gut, but that bacteria, the type of bacteria in there changes with time. And if the bacteria mix is not that great, what happens is that the food goes in as hay, and some of that, what that bacteria does, that some of that bacteria actually breaks down some of that hay so that you can actually get some of the protein out of the hay. You can actually get carbohydrates out of the hay. And carbohydrates, they don't get carbohydrates, but they break it down to simple sugars like glucose, which is then absorbed by the horse so that he can use it as fuel, right? But that is heavily dependent on the type of bacteria in the gut. And that's why it's always good to give them a good probiotic or a good blend of probiotics, because I'm one of those people that really believe in a blend of probiotics as opposed to a single probiotic, right? Because if you look in the gut,
more and more scientific research every year, you get more scientific research that backs that up. It's just like, yeah, there's more than one bacteria in there, and they need all of them.
Yeah, and the one that most people think about is always the Acidophilus, but that in itself, whilst it's a good bacteria, it is not the be-all and the end-all. You have to have a blend of different types of bacteria in there. So it's a good thing to get a blend of bacteria in the gut. You know. And if you have a horse, it's all with an older horse, it's all about calories. It's all about nutrition, meaning that the vitamin mineral status. if your horse has a good vitamin mineral source intake, good calories, he remains healthier for longer. That's all. You also, I know one of the biggest things you also have with horses, older horses especially, is mobility issues. A lot of the times you see your horse is stiff in the morning, right? And then he, you know, depending on the age of the horse, as he gets along during the day, it limbers up a little bit. A lot of that initial stiffness is because of inflammation issues. Now, I know everybody says to me, oh, I give my horse glucosamine. Oh, I give my horse some MSM, right? And some people still use chondroitin for their horse. To me, chondroitin is just a waste of money because the horses cannot absorb chondroitin. Anyway, but be that as it may, glucosamine itself doesn't do anything for that stiffness. What glucosamine is actually a raw material that's used in the building blocks to build cartilage. Now, you know, the glucosamine on its own is not going to do the job, right? You need to help with some of that stiffness, you need some anti-inflammatories. But the problem with anti-inflammatories, if you go and buy the ones that the anti-inflammatories that you get, like a Butazone or any of those are really hard on the stomach. So you trade off, you either live with the stiffness or you have a horse that's always has ulcers, or you have a horse that's always colicking, etc. In cases like that, there are a lot of these herbals that have very good anti-inflammatory effects that you can use on these horses, right? And there's no cure for mobility issues, but it makes them a lot more comfortable. It makes them a lot less stiff. It makes them a lot more fluid in their motions. It's just like older people. You know, when you have arthritis and it sets in, really there is nothing you can do unless you want to get a new joint or something like that. But if you take some anti-inflammatory
for the pony, there you go.
If you take the anti-inflammatories, you make it a lot easier for them to move around. They don't feel the stiffness as much, right? So
the more they move around, the more they move around.
That's right. And the more they move around, actually, it is better for them, because what happens is that, you know, you find that when they move around, they get that blood circulating. It helps wash out some of that inflammatory products of inflammation in the joint area. So it helps dilute it out. So it lessens that inflammation. And as long as you lessen that inflammation, you get better mobility.
So particularly with a senior horse, with those kind of what you might call chronic minor aches and pains, mm-hmm. a little stiff and creaky. That famous physicist or mathematician, a body in motion tends to stay in motion. I think that might have been Einstein.
That's an old law of physics.
Some commercial uses it, but a body in motion tends to stay in motion. When they're on a good quality herbal type anti-inflammatory, which is not harmful to their digestive system, they're going to move around more, therefore they're going to continue to move around more. It has a cascading positive effect.
That's right. And they're much more comfortable. For a senior horse, it's all about comfort, right? Because let's face it, they're not in competition anymore, so you're not giving it to them to keep their joints supple and sound. What you're just trying to do is to keep their joints ahead of the arthritis, to break down, you know what I mean? It's just a matter of keeping them comfortable. Yeah. And I know that, and I say this, it's just that I know a lot of people, I mean, they think, well, I'm going to give it some powdered glucosamine in their feed, so that should hold them and that should do as good as you can. Usually, you're much better off giving them a little bit of these anti-inflammatory herbal products, like our Antiflam, for example, or even our Sinuex. It works really well for those type of horses.
Oh, Sinuex too, because I knew about the anti-flam, because that's something that Beaker, now that he's getting into those mid to later double digits, is like, oh, you know, we need to look into that. Because I have noticed when the weather's chilly, he's a little slower in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So Sinuex as well is going to be a good choice.
Yeah, I usually recommend the Sinuex just because the Sinuex has both the anti-inflammatory herbs as well as the glucosamine in there, and it also has MSM in there. So that is usually a good combination. Yeah, it has a bit of everything. And the reason I mentioned it for the older horse, again, a lot of people just don't think of that type of thing for an older horse. They think of Sinuex and Antiflam for competing horses or horses that, show horses, I would say, right? Mm-hmm. And then one of the things I would also mention for the mobility issues, which people don't even think about, is minerals, right? You know, because minerals are necessary for a lot of, as a cofactor in a lot of manufacturing of a lot of different enzymes and so on, right? And the one I would recommend is Alminarec, again, because it has a whole slew of different minerals that you normally don't find. And the minerals there are pure minerals in the sense that they're lab-grade type minerals, which have been tested for impurity, so heavy metals, etc. And that's important as opposed to just, you know, digging it out of the ground type minerals, because a lot of times minerals that you dig out of the ground, they're not necessarily tested for heavy metals, etc.
Hey, Dr. Chang, I have a question for you. I'm on the website at omegaalphaequine.com, and I'm on the Antiflam product. And I had this question about all of your products, actually. So the dosage, like with Antiflam, you have a loading dose and a maintenance dose, which we see quite often. How important is it to do the loading dose? I know a lot of people try and cheat and just go right to the maintenance dose, but it is really important with all of these products to do that, isn't it?
I like to suggest everybody at least do the loading dose, because usually what you do with the loading dose, you get the effects very quickly, right? And once you see the effects, I mean, you basically, what I say, you get a jump start on the problem, and you can have control of the problem. And once you have control of the problem, the maintenance part is just basically keeping it under control. It's like the old ad, it's like, you know, if you have allergies, right? Seasonal allergies like I do. In the springtime, if I sit in a room where a lot of people are smoking, I have to be out of there in about 5-10 minutes just because the smoke really bothers me. That's because my system is already preloaded with allergens from outside. Now, if I'm in the wintertime, my body's not primed. So the idea with the loading dose is to help control some of that load on your body that's causing a lot of these effects. And if you control that, it takes a lot less to maintain it. And that's basically why I like to do the loading dose. Just you get the comfort a lot faster.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, very good. Well, this is omegaalphaequine.com. You can find all of the products there. So the ones that you really are talking about now for the seniors, let's just do a quick review, are the Antiflam and which others?
The Antiflam, the Sinuex. I'd also talk about the Minarec, and also, last but not least, the Biotic 8.
Okay, yep.
Again, as a source of good bacteria.
And of course, the Biotic 8 is one we talk about all the time here on the show, because I think every one of Jamie's horses is on it. So I don't know what that says about our horses or Jamie. I'm not sure which. We'll have to take a closer look at that. But I think we need a different kind of doctor to take a look at that, actually. So, well, Dr. Chang, it's always fun having you on. And you have a terrific holiday season up there in Canada.
And you too. Enjoy the warmth in Florida. It's right now, I think it's probably about 0 degrees out here, but it's not snowing, so it's good.
All right. Well, we won't even tell you what it is here, because it'll just depress you. So,
for sure.
Well, thank you, Dr. Chang. We appreciate it. It's omegaalphaequine.com. Have a terrific holiday.
Take care and thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, there you go. That's for the senior horse. And, you know, I want to...
I always learn stuff from Dr. Chang.
I know. He always comes out with something that we didn't know before. And, you know, I've been meaning to ask, because I know a lot of people try and cheat, because, you know, the loading dose is always about twice as much as the maintenance dose, and you basically are spending more money during that first...
Yeah, people try to cheat because they think they're using less of the product, when it sounds to me like you really don't, because... we're going to assume that you're giving this product because the horse needs some improvement.
That's right.
You don't see the improvement as quickly. Therefore, you use the product for a longer period of time before you get back to doing what you want to do. So people just use the loading dose, would you?
Right. Exactly. Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, I wanted to remind everybody, too, that Jennifer does another show called Horse Tip Daily, where she takes a lot of the tips, like you just heard from Dr. Chang, cuts them out of the other shows and puts them over there so they're very easy to find. You can just go over to horsetipdaily.com. She has, what, almost 900 tips now over there. And it just makes it very easy for you to separate out the good stuff from all the shows and find them in a shorter form over on Horse Tip Daily. So I just wanted to give everybody that reminder.
At Horse Tip Daily, you get all of the information bits without the jokes and bad puns in between.
That's correct. Yes, without the bad jokes or puns in between, either one. Well, we are also coming out with, over the weekend, the latest Chasing a Fox came out with Helena B. and Sissy Finn. So take a listen to that. And also the latest Horsemanship Radio with Debbie Laux came out over the weekend. So if you haven't caught those episodes yet, you'll find them on horseradionetwork.com, or you can also find them on our app. If you haven't downloaded the app yet, you should. Just if you go into the iOS or the Android app store, you'll find it under Horse Radio Network. All 11 of the shows are on there. It makes it very simple and easy to listen to our shows. The only thing you can't do is listen to this show live yet. We're hoping someday that the technology will allow us to do that. Right now it does not, but you can catch the recorded version immediately after the show when it goes up, about an hour after the show is over every day. So you won't miss the show. You just won't be able to catch this one live. Well, Jennifer, we're going to take another break for another song today. As Jennifer said earlier, Jamie is out. She is sick. She is hopefully going to be back here on Wednesday. But we're going to take another break for another Christmas song because we're legally allowed to play them now by Jamie's rules. So let's do a little Happy Holidays, and then we're coming back with Leslie from Horse Nation. I know it's your favorite. So here it is.
That you're warm and home and safe, surrounded by your herd, singing peace on earth and happy new holidays. Well, the snow was soft, was falling on the pasture, and there's a holly wreath hanging on the barn. Jingle bells are jingling, lights are all a twinkling. Christmas time is coming to the farm. Yeah, I'm wishing you a very Merry Christmas, and hoping that you're warm and home safe, surrounded by your herd, singing peace on earth and happy new holidays. Yeah. And the kid and me just love this time of year. There's no dream too big for dreaming. Ain't nothing like the feeling when no one you love are gathered near. So I'm wishing you a very Merry Christmas, hoping that you're warm and home and safe, surrounded by your herd, singing peace on earth and happy ye holidays. Hey, happy ye holidays. Yeehaw!
Well, that was Happy Ye Holidays by Templeton Thompson. You, of course, can find all of her music at templetonthompson.com. I don't know if any of you got a chance. I was kind of sick on Thanksgiving morning, so I spent the day watching watching what they used to show parades. I'm not even sure they show parades anymore. I gave up on the New York parade because all it was Broadway shows, one right after another, and it just got boring. So I went over to the McDonald's parade out of Chicago, and they had a lot of horses in that parade. I don't know if anybody else saw it, but they had this emblem of the parade emblem painted in the middle of the road, and I don't know if anybody else noticed that the entire parade, it was kind of funny, the entire parade, the horses would not walk over that emblem. I don't care whether they were driving carriages or whether they were in horse groups or whether they were doing formations or drill teams. It didn't matter. They were not going to walk over that particular emblem. And it wasn't, it just looked like maybe a chalk painting on the road, but boy,
it looked like a chalk painting. Yeah.
It was colorful. Yeah. And I guess the colors, they didn't like the colors because they just all went around it. Now, unfortunately, you know, the other thing about these parades is they really should have a horse person there with them to talk about the horse groups, because these two particular announcers didn't know a damn thing about horses, nothing. And they just didn't know anything. And it was horrendous to listen to. But the one horse actually that came around the going around the edges of this emblem on the road, lost its footing. And it looked like it just hit an icy spot and lost its footing. Its legs were going everywhere. It went down on its side, dumped the rider. It went down on its side. And then when it came back up, when the horse came in Appaloosa, when the Appaloosa came back up, there was another Appaloosa right beside it. And the guy was trying to grab the reins of this loose horse. And then his horse started, legs started going everywhere, and that's when they cut, and I couldn't see what finally happened. So I wanted to see the end, but they cut, of course, so I didn't get to see the end of the horse.
You wanted to see the train wreck.
I wanted to see the carnage, but I didn't get to see any of it. And I they said everybody was fine, and the rider did get up and that kind of thing. But yeah, they didn't know what to say about that either. They made some weird little comment about that. It was like, we really need horse people. I need to write to the parades and hire all the hosts on the Horse Radio Network out
hire
to do
out.
Parades. Yes, we need to hire out to do parades, to do the color commentary on the horse bits of it, because they certainly can't.
Because it's pretty embarrassing for the most part.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Well, next up is The Wacky World of Horses by Horse Nation. It's brought to you by High Visibility North America. And of course, Leslie Wiley joins us every single Monday. Welcome back, Leslie.
Hey, happy belated Thanksgiving.
Yes, I know we didn't get to talk to you last week because we had some special programming. So we appreciate you being here this week. Did you have a wonderful time?
I did. Lots of family in town. Lots of eating, food. It was good times. All my favorites.
You didn't get to see all the horses doing weird things in the Chicago parade, did you?
No, I missed that.
Yes, yes, you did. I was actually surprised, one, how many horses were in the Chicago parade, and two, how horses just do not like walking over colorful things on the road.
Imagine that.
It was not happening. It was quite amusing for us horse people. Hey, so you had a good Thanksgiving. Did you ride? Do you ride Thanksgiving Day?
I didn't get to this year, but I had to cook Thanksgiving myself.
And everybody was okay after? Because you are a horse.
Yep. Yeah, okay. Yep. I didn't mess up anything too terribly or give anyone food poisoning. So that's,
the turkey was not raw. You actually served it cooked.
That's right.
Okay, good.
Good job.
Just checking. Well, look at you.
But
not only are you a horse person and a blogger, you're a cook too.
Well, yeah, I guess. not a great one.
Maybe I should be asking your family.
That's not high up on my resume yet, but yeah, working on it.
Well, now I know.
But, in the spirit of Thanksgiving, I wanted to give a little thanks to one of your sponsors.
Oh yeah.
Where I keep my horses, there's like fox hunters just all over the place, crawling through the woods this year. They have deer stands set up everywhere. So, like, I always feel like I'm taking my life in my hands a little bit when I venture out onto the trails. And I guess I've sort of resisted, investing in some, really bright colored, sort of reflective gear. The orange stuff, because it's all like, it's so frumpy and you know,
and we all know what a fashion plate you are.
Totally. So then I found out that this company, High Visibility Sportswear, is sponsoring Horses in the Morning, and in particular, I guess, our segment. And so I looked up their website, and they have really cute high visibility stuff that comes in pink. So I have my eye on this. I'm going to order it. They have this pink vest, and I'm going to get a matching pink helmet band, and it's going to be adorable, and I'm not going to get shot.
There you go. Well, that's important. I thought you were going to go after the Aspie jacket, because that is very, very popular, and that also comes in pink. That's the one that says on the back, please pass wide and slow.
I like that one, too. I don't know. I might need it all.
Well, Christmas is coming.
They have so much cool stuff. Yeah. But that's going to give me some good peace of mind because I keep running into them, and it's always awkward, you know. It's like, hey, and they're like, hey, they're messing up our, I'm like, I'm sorry.
You need to kick it up a little bit. Not only do you need to ride around out there wearing your high visibility, adorable pink vest, which I have that one in green, by the way, and it's really awesome. You need to hang a couple of jingle bells on the horse.
Yeah,
because there will not be a deer within miles if you do that.
Oh, and you know what? You know those boat horns that you can buy that have a little bottle attached and you press it and it's this huge boat horn thing? Yeah, the air horn. You need to have one of those along so that anytime you see a hunter, you just press. They love that. They love that. Yeah.
This is waking me up in case you're dozing off up
there.
That's
right. Yeah, just helping you out here, buddy. It won't be a deer within 50 miles.
You go old school and just put a boom box in your saddlebags and turn it up loud. That works too.
Yeah, that'll work.
Man, that would be a good invention.
How to keep the deer hunters out of your woods.
Oh, that's what they need to come out with. High Visibility Sportswear needs to put a radio, you know, some kind of MP3 player built into the jackets with a speaker system on the back.
Man.
Look at all these great ideas we have for them. And then you could do your musical cur with your jacket playing the music.
With your jacket playing the music.
Yeah. Yeah, you know how you always have the radio, it's over on the side, you can barely hear it, you know, because it's all the way across the arena and it never goes loud enough. And then if you put it loud enough, you're disturbing everybody else that's riding. Well, this way you don't have that problem. It's just coming out your back of your jacket.
That's a great idea.
That's perfect.
Until the horse thinks it's being chased by music and everybody dies.
Oh, by the way, if you do decide to do that whole air horn thing, I'd practice with that first with the horse. It's probably not something you want to try in the trail, just to piss off the hunters.
No.
All right. So it's highvisibilitysportswear.com if you want to check out all the terrific products over there. Order now, because I do know that she's running low on some of the sizes and some of the colors. So get your order in now if you want to have it for the holidays. You definitely want to do that. But they are pumping out orders like crazy, and these are hugely popular products for this holiday season. I think they're one of the big hits for this year in the horse world. So check it out. You have a bunch of things. You didn't stop working over the holidays. You kept posting things over on Horse Nation. So let's talk about a few of them. Can I pick one first?
Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely.
We used to have, I was talking about earlier in the show, when Jennifer and I used to non-enthusiastically go hunting on our property, we had a big boarding stable. And we, at one point, had up to 20 to 25 horses there. And we always had the barn rules, and you posted the 10 common sense barn rules that boarders tend to forget or ignore. And boy, these just hit home. When I read through these, it was like, oh my gosh, this brings back memories, and not all of them good. So let's go down through them and chat about them a little bit. 10 rules for my perfect barn. Now, did you write this one, by the way, or is this from?
I didn't. One of our writers, Brianne Long, wrote it.
Okay.
But it was, yeah, definitely. I I agreed with every last one.
Now you board now, right? You're boarding your horse, right?
I do. Yeah.
Okay, so these apply to you. You have to follow these. So we'll see.
I do.
Well, let me ask you. Let me go down through the list and ask you these and see if you follow them. Number one is be nice to others and be nice to horses, no exceptions.
I'm nice. I'm a nice person at the barn in general. So I'm happy. Why not be nice to everybody?
I can't see you being mean to horses or people. So I think that's probably true. But boy, I'll tell you what, this was one of the ones, and Jennifer can vouch for this, that we kicked a lot of boarders out because of this first rule right here. And one of the things and you know, we don't have much tolerance for beating your horse, you know, and, you know, we had a couple people that would come in and whether they were teenagers or adults, if they're, you know, they would get one warning. And if we ever caught them doing that again, then they were out. I mean, we just kicked them out. We didn't have any exceptions.
And the same for people. The barn that I'm at right now is the most low-key, happy-go-lucky environment, because the barn owners have a very strict no drama rule. You know, the minute somebody starts rabble rousing and, you know, starting rumors and or, you know, talking behind other people's backs, they're out.
Yep, good.
which is great. I you know, because you want the barn for so many of us is a sanctuary. It's a place we go, you know, to sort of get away from all that stressful, petty stuff that we have to deal with in the rest of our life. So I appreciate that about our barn.
You know, do you feel the same way we do, that every barn has a feeling, and as soon as you walk in, before you talk to anybody, before you do anything, that barn exudes a feeling, and you kind of get an idea of what the barn's going to be like just walking into it?
Absolutely. That's so true.
Yeah. I don't know if it's an intuition that us horse people have, especially if you've been in enough barns, but you do. You know, when you walk into a barn, and usually you can tell within 5 minutes whether you want to be there or not.
And I think the horses must pick up on that too, you know. You know, when all the horses seem happy and relaxed, like, I think that's a great sign. But when, you know, I've certainly been in barns before where all the horses seem like they're on edge and are antsy and, you know, just not real happy. I think that's probably an indicator of what's going on a larger level there, you know.
So. We've walked into barns before that you don't see a horse head out of the stall. All the horses are in the barn, they're all in their stalls, and you don't see a horse head poking out of the stall. If that's the case, turn around and walk back out of that barn. That's a first glaring indicator that there's something going on there. If the horses aren't comfortable sticking their heads out and smiling at you, then that is a indication right away. And we've been in barns like that. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, number two, don't borrow without asking permission. Or don't steal. Let's just say it. I mean, don't steal our crap. Jeez, I can't tell you how many things we went through. Oh, geez. And, they steal from each other, but they also, what happens is that the boarders tend to feel guilty stealing from other boarders, but not from the barn owner. In a lot of cases, that will you agree with that, Jennifer? That's, you know, in some cases that they just feel like they're owed that because they pay board. I can use their brushes, I can use their fly spray, I can use, you know, the barn owner's everything, and they don't think twice about it. That's not cool. So, three, don't move anything without asking permission.
Yep.
Yeah. don't move the water pump. Okay. Just don't do it. There are times that people have tried to remodel the tack room and things like that. They don't like where their trunk is, so they move everybody else's, and that causes trouble. Yeah, all those fun things. Clean up after yourself and your horse. Pick up poop and sweep up hay, hair, and hoof dirt in the wash racks or aisles. This is just a constant, isn't it? I don't care what barn you're at.
Everyone thinks their mother works there or come around and clean up after him, I guess, but not true. Leave it cleaner than you found it.
Is this the? This has to be the biggest one, don't you think? That's a constant battle for barn owners. For Jennifer, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Pardon me?
Wouldn't you say this has to be the biggest one, cleaning up after yourself and your horse? That was always a battle.
That was a tough one. Yeah. It's like, there's a broom right here, honey. Right here. Yeah. Yeah. Especially the hair on the wash rack. That was the worst. Hair and poop on the wash rack. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Now, for us ADD people, I have to come to the defense a little bit. Sometimes you're busy and you forget. I mean, there are times you just forget because you're busy. You're getting your horse in. You have to go somewhere or, you know, something's going wrong or whatever. And you just forget. That does happen. But then there was the people that just did it every single time. Number five, don't straight ground or cross tie a horse that won't stand quietly. Groom in your stall or choose a location away from others who are grooming or tacking. We've all seen that nightmare where there's two or three horses cross tied and one of them's not having a good day. And then all of a sudden, how many of the horses aren't having a good day? All of them aren't having a good day.
All of them.
Yes.
Yep.
Is your horse a good tire? Is he a good cross tire?
Oh, you will stand there. He'll even ground tie. I could drop the leader up, and he'd just stand there all day, I think. So that's convenient. He's great. He's a pretty laid-back dude in general, so.
We've learned my pony that I can't cross-tie him because he doesn't get it. And the first time we went to cross-tie was after I'd given him a bath. And the aisleway sand. So I cross-tied him, and I walked 2 seconds away, came back, and he had laid down to roll. Well, he was cross-tied, and his head's at a cockeyed angle up in the air, and he's still trying to roll.
No.
So basically, he was trying to hang himself.
No.
And he had no idea he was trying to hang himself. All he was trying to do was roll, and he didn't get why he couldn't. And then we tried to cross tie him one other time and he tried to lay down again. So it was like, okay, we're just can't. So when you tie him with one lead, he's fine. You can't cross tie him. It's just, he doesn't get it. There's a couple more. Don't leave filled hay nets, buckets of feed, handfuls of treats, etc. on the ground in front of your stall or anywhere that's easily accessible to other horses being led through the barn. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because my horse will eat it and will snack on it along the way. So, I mean, that's just, you're just going to lose it. And then I figure it's your fault because it's there, right?
That's right.
Don't monopolize the wash racks. If you're just grooming or tacking using the cross ties and the aisle, not in the wash rack. Boy, there are people that can spend it. They must spend an hour in the bathroom themselves in the morning because they can certainly spend an hour in the wash rack. I'm kind of one of those.
You know what we need to do, Glenn? There's a way to fix that. It needs to be just like modern homes. Everybody has their own wash rack, just like in a house. Everybody has their own bathroom.
Oh, there you go. That's good.
Yeah.
Leslie, are you one of those that spends a long time in the wash rack, primping and polishing? And
No. My horse does not get primped and polished.
He's an inventor.
But
he's lucky he gets his feet clean.
Hose and go.
That's right. I like that.
No, but yeah, what I would add to this rule is, what sometimes happens is, if somebody comes into the barn after riding with a hot horse and you're in the wash stall, doing a half hour cold hose of a leg or something, recognize that, don't make that other person wait for you with the hot horse, always make room for the hot horse.
Yeah.
You can go back, you can pick up your cold hosing back up later, but I think that's a good one. That's one I've run into a few times. So.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Well, what else did you have from, what other articles were interesting over the last week?
Oh man, we've got I love this time of the year because we've got, we get to start kicking up the holiday posts and the winter posts, and that's always fun. One thing that I found that was that I just thought was a kind of a stroke of genius was a reader was, I guess, rummaging around on eBay for a bear backpack and found a contraption called a daddle, which is exactly what it sounds like, a saddle for a saddle for your dad, which would have been amazing had such a thing been. In fact, I remember like strapping pillows onto my sister's backs, you know, with belts and making them carry me around.
Were they younger sisters, by the way?
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
But this is an actual saddle, has like a little plush little horn on it, a little seat, and you just stirrups and you just strap it onto dad's back, and he becomes your pony, which is, I mean, cheaper than a pony, right? It's only like that was a good find, the daddle. If anybody's looking for a Christmas present out there for a kid, a poor unsuspecting dad.
I love some of the comments you got on this one. I'm just reading some of the comments. That was funny. I love the idea of this product at first, but this is from, doesn't have a name. I love the idea of using this product at first, but after ordering, I began to have buyer's remorse. After a few weeks of trying to use the daddle, I'm afraid that I still have not had success, and I think it's a waste of money. No amount of duct tape would keep the cat attached to the saddle while I was on my husband's back.
Oh, no. And it wasn't even their cat. It was their neighbor's
cat.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, dear.
It is very funny. Was this a serious product? Was it a serious product? Was it a real product?
Oh, it's a real product. Yeah, Cashel makes it. You know, that they make the Saddle Patch Company.
Yeah.
You know, yep.
Oh, the website is daddle.com. 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 As seen on the Tonight Show with Jay Leno. I wonder if they rode Jay around. That's funny.
There's got to be YouTube. I tried to look up
that.
The YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't find that video, but because I was like, I need to see that, but it didn't. Couldn't find it. But yeah.
Hey, there's one other one on here, too. Two other ones I want to talk to you about real quick. One is, You post these all the time, and I must be the most daft guy ever, because I don't get them. I don't get what a haiku is. It doesn't rhyme. It doesn't make. They don't make any sense to me. Can you explain a haiku?
Well, haikus are. Yeah, I think we've had this discussion before.
I know, and I still don't get.
It's a very short form of Japanese poetry, and And so each it's three phrases, and there's 17 syllables altogether, and it's five in the first phrase, seven in the second phrase, and then five in the third phrase, and they're cute and funny. I'll read a couple that our weekend editor. Carla Lake wrote over the weekend for sort of winter themed haikus written from a horse's perspective. This one is, my paddock grass gone, a horse can still dream, sun, warmth, sleeping in a giant salad. Love that.
I don't.
Sleeping in a giant salad.
Winter is here now. Indoor ring is a madhouse. Take deep breaths. Deep breaths.
I must be haiku like
deficient.
Yeah, I just don't get them. I just I have never gotten them. Funny. This one's kind of funny. Through sleet and snow. Okay. And rain, I am freezing my tail off. Invent cars already. Now that I gotta get that one. I get that one.
I get this one. West tips mild weather. Come on, lottery ticket. Snowbird life suits me.
By the way, it is kind of nice down here right now. So yeah, I get that one too.
Yeah.
All right, so a couple of them I get. Maybe it's just how well they're written.
Yeah, yeah.
Winter, winter's a good time to teach your horse stupid tricks. Just don't pull something. You go a lot of ways with that one. All right, we're not gonna go with that one. Hey, the one other one too that I wanted to talk to you about real quick was the retirement of the worst race horse in history. Oh my God! Why was this is out of Australia, right?
Yeah, this is out of Australia.
It's an 11-year-old horse with 90 starts.
Yep.
And no wins.
No wins. They really persisted with this horse, didn't they?
Why?
Despite the fact that nobody, everyone seems to understand that, as his owner and trainer says, he's just really, really bad.
Tell everybody what his name was.
Vote for Lust.
That probably has something to do with it.
Yeah. The one thing this horse had going for him was he was so bad. He was such a bad racehorse. He had this great personality, apparently. So he sort of accumulated this fan base. He's got 788 Facebook fans and almost 400 Twitter followers and people. He was had a cult following at the races. People would just it says hordes of fans would be waiting after races to take pictures with him. What he lacked in speed, he made up for with personality.
He wore those.
That's funny. I like that they called him Lusty. His name around the barn was Lusty, and that's really ironic for a horse that's never going to be bred to anything ever. The irony with this horse's name is just too good. What owner after 50 races and not winning anything goes, I think 51's a good idea. And then 61 and then 71.
Maybe this time.
Don't you have to pay to enter races? I don't know. That's
I don't know. Maybe you just thought it was funny. Who knows? The owner is quoted as saying that he struggles to believe there could possibly be a worse horse on the planet.
Is there any idea what's going to happen to poor Lusty? I know he's not going out for breeding, so.
Yes, he's living the dream now. I think he got was given to the owner's 14-year-old granddaughter, who's been retraining him for a quote slower paced life.
What's that statue?
That was good, Jennifer. That's a line of the day.
Yeah, that was good. Oh, goodness.
Thank you, Leslie. We appreciate you being on. It's horsenation.com. She's here every Monday with us, and this segment is brought to you by highvisibilitysportswear.com. You be careful with all those hunters and go out and get yourself a foghorn, okay?
I will.
Play it loudly. They love that. I guarantee you they won't shoot you for playing it. Guarantee you.
Might.
We'll see you, Leslie.
Bye.
A statue. That was the best line of the day. You get the best line of the day award.
Do I get a horse radio mug for that?
Yeah, I'll send you a mug. We'll do that. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us today. We really appreciate you being here. Now, you did a post on or two over on the Facebook page. Do we have any good comments?
We did. We got some fun comments. I asked whether or not anybody rode on Thanksgiving, and we got some interesting comments. Poor old Uta, one of our most faithful listeners, said no, she was sick, so join the crowd. There was
join the crowd. I was, too. Yeah, good. Join the crowd.
Yeah. Richard Travis had a great comment, and I'm on his page. Third annual ride alone ride. That's one of my favorite kinds on a holiday. Please leave all of the friends and relatives behind and go for a ride by yourself.
I think you did. I think you got to do that this holiday. You got a lone ride in there.
Yes, we did. I just posted pictures of us going out to the Greenway.
Yep. Good. Cool.
And Angela Bailey got to ride all three of her off-the-track thoroughbreds for Thanksgiving. And as Glenn just alluded, we took Beaker and PT Scooter out to the Greenway over the holiday and took PT Scooter for a walk. And it was his first trip away from the farm since we rescued him way back in July. Can you believe it's that long ago?
Is it July?
July.
Wow. Huh.
Yeah.
No,
it doesn't seem like that long.
No, it doesn't, actually. But he was such a good boy. I noticed you posted the pictures there of him out in the woods. He was such a good boy that day.
He was such a rock star, and until it was time to get out of the horse trailer.
Yeah. Yeah. He didn't like that too much.
We're going to work on that. More on that on Wednesday.
All right. Very good. Well, thank you for joining us here today. We really appreciate it. Now, remember, tomorrow morning we have Tack Talk with Equus Now. And I know that's going to be all about holiday buying and gift buying. So you'll want to join us tomorrow morning as Rose from Equus Now joins us. She just had a birthday. I saw over the weekend. So happy birthday, Rose. And we will talk to her tomorrow morning. We'll be back here live tomorrow morning. And then Wednesday, hopefully Jamie will be back. We should have the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia back as well on Wednesday, so you can win some prizes just in time for the holidays. So we look forward to having you on the show then. Don't forget, you can find
great,
all of...
Because if you win the box of crap, you can re-gift it to somebody else.
That's right. And we got in some new stuff, too, and I saw in my email that there was some more new stuff that has come in from vendors, so we're going to have to get those all lined up for Wednesday. Don't forget, you can find all the other shows in the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com or the app. Just search for Horse Radio Network in the iOS or Android store. That's it for today. We will be back here tomorrow morning live on Horses in the Morning. Thank you for filling in today, Jennifer.
You're very welcome.
Take care, everybody. Spay, neuter, and don't race your horses 90 times.